Good morning. Forgot my stopwatch here. Appreciate everyone being here this morning, especially the visitors we've got. Appreciate the guys who spoke for me this last week, Braden and Kyle, and Jeff, who taught my class for me. But it is a pleasure to be able to be back with you again this morning. You know, in a good relationship, good marriage relationship, one of the keys is communication. In a good relationship with friends, one of the keys is communication. When it comes to country, citizens, and the government, one of the keys to a good relationship is communication. When it comes to the elders in the church, one of the keys of a good relationship is communication. When it comes to me and my God, one of the keys of a good relationship is communication. It is important for me to open my heart to the will of God as He's revealed it in His Word and let God speak to my heart, let God speak to me. And it is important for me to open my mouth and open my heart so that I might communicate to God as well. This year we have the theme of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, which is walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And maybe my clicker is not working today. Oh, just had to catch up here. Let me back up here. Our theme for the year is walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And part of that walking worthy is Bible study. Last month we had as our challenge to focus on enhancing our Bible study, spending the time letting God speak to us through His Word. This month's challenge, the challenge of February, is going to be prayer, us revealing our heart unto God. For us to do so, we're not going to set the challenge, set the goal of, all right, everybody spend 8 hours a day in fervent prayer, because most likely we're going to fail at that. But what I would like to all of us to meet the challenge of is to enhance what you're already doing. Make sure that you're taking the time each day. Set a time when you are praying unto God. And enlarge the topics that you talk about God with. And speak slowly enough that the words have meaning. I would challenge you to think about your prayer and to develop your prayer life so that we might walk worthy of the calling with which we were called. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first four verses in our lesson this morning as we seek to develop our prayer life. In these verses, Paul says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. First of all, I would like for you to note the word therefore. It begins with therefore. What does he say before that that leads him to this exhortation about prayer? Chapter 1, verse 18. This charge or this command I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made to you, by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected, concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I deliver to Satan, that they learn not to blaspheme. Therefore, I exhort first of all. Timothy was to be involved with a warfare, with a battle for what is good and what is right. He needed to be careful that he did not fall and make shipwreck of his faith as others had. What is going to guard him? What is going to help him with that? Therefore, first of all, I exhort you to pray. I exhort you to pray unto God for a particular purpose, he says, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Our warfare is not to make enemies of this world. Our warfare is not to cause carnage in this world. Our warfare is to make life better for us and for those around us, is for us to live a good life, a godly life, a life of reverence. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God. In fact, God's desire is for all men to be saved. Our warfare is not to kill other people. Our warfare is to save other people, is to bring others to Jesus Christ. This is the will, the desire of our Father. He wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, for us to pray, there are different types of prayer. And Paul uses four words here. I don't know that these four words necessarily encompass everything, all aspects of prayer, but nonetheless it covers a great deal of prayer. And so let's focus on these four words for just a moment. He says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, and the word supplication means primarily a wanting, a need, then an asking, an entreaty, supplication. We need a supply of something. We have a need of something. And so a supplication is us asking God to supply that for us. And much of our prayers are telling God what we need. I need this. I want this in my life. And there's really nothing wrong with that because God is a powerful God. God is a God who cares about us. God is a loving God. He wants to help us, just like with our children. Now, we want our children to grow up and take care of themselves the best they can, but we recognize that there are going to be needs that they have that they cannot fulfill. We want them to ask us. We want them to tell us what they need so that we, in love, can help them to live their lives, a quiet and peaceable life with all godliness and reverence. That's what God wants for us as well. But, you know, it's kind of like the relationship with the husband and wife. There needs to be communication because men don't always understand what women want and need. Women don't always understand what men want and need. We're different. We can't read each other's minds, so we have to communicate. We have to tell each other what we want, what we need. God and man, we're different. God has to tell us what He wants, what He needs, and He's done that in His Word, and we, through prayer, need to tell God what we want and what we need so that He can respond to us and so that He can help us. Go back with me to the model prayer to Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus gives us a short prayer to help us to frame our own prayers. And I want you to notice what we are to pray for. He says, beginning with verse 9, this is Matthew chapter 6. He says, in this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now here's a supplication. This is something that we need, that we ask for. Give us this day our daily bread. There's a second supplication. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Here's a third supplication. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's interesting the parallels that we have here in this model prayer and what Paul tells Timothy here. He begins with, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As Paul is talking to Timothy here about prayer, he says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's the will of God being done on earth. That's the kingdom being established on the earth, for all men to know about Christ and all men to be saved. And notice the parallel here as well. He tells us that we are to have supplications that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Well, to do that, we're going to need food. We're going to need something physical in order to sustain our life. Now, I would note that he doesn't say, give us a new Ferrari. each day, or give us a new big house each day. Give us abundance each day. No, what Jesus encourages us to pray for is just what we need each day. That's a physical thing. But notice the second two supplications are spiritual. Forgive me. Forgive me of the sins that I have committed. And the second thing is, lead me not into temptation. I want to live a quiet and peaceable life. I want to live in godliness. I want to live in reverence. Keep me away from the evil one. The supplications that Jesus encourages us to give are supplications concerning, yes, physical things, but also spiritual security, spiritual things that we need so that we can live the proper life before God. We are God's children. And as His children, we have the right to ask Him to help us. You know, if you think about man-made religion, you think about idolatry. Basically, idolatry is man taking a sacrifice to the false god and giving it to the false god because he wants something from it. Usually, something physical from it. You give it to the god, you get something from the god. You give to the god, you get something from the god. God wants us to be His children. He wants us to develop a relation. He doesn't just want us to give Him something and ask for something. He wants us to give of ourselves. He wants us to open our hearts. He wants us, you know, like our children. Our children could come to us and say, "Mom, Dad, I need food. Mom, Dad, I need a new phone. Mom, Dad, I want. And they need to ask for those things if they need those things. But what we want from our kids is, "Yeah, but tell me about what's going on in your life. Tell me about your struggles. Tell me about your joys. Tell me about who you are. Tell me about what you want to be." We communicate to our parents. We communicate to our God. We make supplications to our God so that we can develop our relationships with God. In fact, is not maturity reflected in the type of communication that we have? When our kids are very young, all they can do, first of all, is cry when they want something, when they need something. And then they can very primitively say what they want or what they need. But we want them to grow up. We want them to be able to express themselves in a full manner, in a mature manner. How does our prayer life, when it comes to our supplication, reflect the maturity of our relationship with God? Let's develop our prayer life. A second word that is used here by the Apostle Paul is the word prayers. It's the general word for prayer. And it's interesting that it's always used in the context of prayer. It's used in the New Testament 37 times in the noun form and 87 times in the verb form, which is 124 times. And it's always used of our communication with God. We don't pray to our friends. We don't pray to our parents. We don't pray to the President of the United States. We pray to God. It's a particular type of communication that we have with God. Because God is God. He is the Creator. He is the Sustainer. He is holy. He is just. He is righteous above all else. And so our communication with God is a communication described with the word prayer. And the original word is a word, proskuneuomai, which is a word from which we get prostrate or to worship. In fact, it's very similar to the original word for worship. Our prayer is sort of a bowing to, prostrating ourselves. It is a worship unto God. It is to be done in the context of an acknowledgement of our relationship with God. Go back with me again, if you would, to the model prayer, Matthew chapter 6. And notice how much of that really could be encompassed with this word prayer. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." When we pray, we need to acknowledge that God is God and that we are man. And we want to be more like God, but we will never be God. We are made in His image, but we will never be gods. So there's always that acknowledgement in our relationship, in our communication with Him. Hallowed be Your name. Notice verse 10, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our kingdom isn't coming. We haven't established. We will never establish any kingdom, but God's kingdom. That's what is forefront in our minds. That's what is important. His will be done, not our will be done. We bow in submission to His will because He is God. Sometimes we pray so often that we don't really think about the words that we're saying. Our Father in heaven is kind of how we begin that our prayers. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. We say that at the end. But we need to think about the acknowledgement of who we are speaking to. We are speaking to our Father who is in heaven. We are doing so by the authority of Jesus Christ. So we continue in this model prayer. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread is a recognition of our dependence upon God. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors is a recognition that we need to be right in the sight of God. And God is a holy God and we want to be holy too because by the forgiveness, by the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We don't want to serve the devil. We want to serve the one, the true God. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. There is always to be an acknowledgement of the greatness of God as we speak unto God, because He is the one that brings about true spiritual victory within our lives. How is your prayer life? Do your prayers manifest a maturity in recognizing who God is and what He is? Third word that is used here is the word intercessions. It is a technical term for approaching a king, and so for approaching God with intercessions, seeking the presence and hearing of God on the behalf of others. There's some overlap with all of these words, but the contrast between supplications and intercessions is that supplication has to do with my needs, what I need from God. Intercessions has to do with what others might need. I'm coming in the presence of God to ask on behalf of someone else. And this is really part of the maturity process as well. Much of our prayer life might be centered in self, much more so in an immature state, than focused on others in a more mature state. There's a balance there of thinking not just of self, but also thinking of others as we develop qualities such as brotherly kindness and love in 2 Peter chapter 5, chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Notice interesting contrast here. He says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, which is approaching the king, approaching on the behalf of others. But notice what he says here, giving thanks be made for all men, for kings, and to all who are in authority. Notice that he does not say that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made to all men and to the kings who are in authority. We don't make intercessions to the kings of this earth. We make intercessions to the King of all this universe, because He's the one that can do something. He's the one that can change things. He is the one that we ask in behalf of others. And notice that he says that we don't approach the kings of this earth, but we approach the King of all on behalf of all men and on behalf of the kings. Particularly speaking of the kings and those in authority, they have a great responsibility and they are going to be judged by how they carry out that authority and that influence that they have. And you think about it in the first century, the greatest source of persecution of Jesus, and in fact the reason why he was crucified, was because of the authorities misusing their authority. And the greatest source of persecution of the New Testament church was the Jewish rulers. And after the church began to spread to all of the world, the greatest source of persecution to the Christians was the Roman government. And so Paul says, you need to pray for them. You need to pray for the kings and those in authority. You need to pray for all men. Why? So that they might be overcome? So that we might establish the kingdom of Christ on this earth? No, he says, so that, here's the reason, here's the purpose, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. This is good in the sight of God. He wants all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. He said, we make supplication for others so that the will of God could be carried out, so that others might know the truth, so that we can live the life that we need to live. We are blessed in the United States to have the freedoms that we do religiously. And we need to pray for the kings, for the presidents, for the senators, for the representatives, for those who are in authority, so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. Our purpose is not to establish a caliphate, is not to establish a kingdom of Christ on this earth. We have a spiritual kingdom. Our purpose is for us to live our lives as God wants us to live them, in all godliness and reverence, so that others might know about Jesus Christ as well, so that others might hear the gospel of Christ, so that they might be saved as well. It's interesting. Go with me to the book of Colossians, if you would. It's interesting looking at the letters that Paul writes to Christians and to individuals. Many of them begin with Paul's prayers. In fact, Paul begins his letter to the Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and Philemon by praying for the brethren. And he tells us what he prays concerning or for the brethren. We'll look at just one example here in the book of Colossians in verse 1. Colossians chapter 1. Here is an intercession of the Apostle Paul. He says, verse 3, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, of which you which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Notice the parallel there. The Apostle Paul says, I want you to pray for all men so that you might live a quiet and peaceable life. And in fact, God wants all men to hear the knowledge of the truth. Hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul here, in the beginning of his prayer, thanks God because they heard the gospel. They are able to live this godly life. They're able to live this reverent life. They have heard the saving grace of Jesus Christ. But we jump down to verse 9 where we really get into the intercession when he says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So here's intercession. What does he pray for them? And to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Kind of similar to what the Apostle Paul says is the goal here. Jesus, the will of the Father, is for all to come to a knowledge of the truth. All to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. They had done that, and he wants them to be filled with that. That is the intercession for them. We continue in verse 10. That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord. He wants them to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. One interesting, one observation I would make from this intercessory prayer of the Apostle Paul, a lot of times our intercessory prayers are for the health, the well-being, physical well-being of our brothers and sisters. We pray for those that are going into surgery. We pray for those who are traveling. We pray for those who are facing some physical difficulty. And that's all good and well. We should be praying for those things. But the bulk of what the Apostle Paul prayed for was for their spiritual health, was for their spiritual maturity, for them to continue to grow so that they might glorify God. How is your prayer life when it comes to intercessory prayers, praying on behalf of others? The fourth word that he uses here is the giving of thanks, which means gratitude, acknowledgement of the blessings from God. It's a good thing for us to say, Lord, I need your help. I'm struggling with this temptation. I need your help with this difficulty or this problem. My brother or sister is struggling. They need help. Help them with this problem. It's good to ask God. He is God and He wants us to help us. But it's also good for us to think back on the times when we have prayed and where God has answered in a positive way to us. God answers all prayers, but where He answers those prayers, where He gives us what we need to say thank you. And in fact, we could probably say thank you for a lot of things that we never even ask for, but He gives us before we even know that we need them. And much of that has to do with salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. From the last point, I noted that Paul begins many of his letters with prayers. And I want you to notice what he says in those prayers. Let's go to, well, we were in Colossians, so let's just stay there in Colossians. Chapter 1, notice how he begins that in chapter 1 and in verse 3, I believe it is. Yes, 3. He says, we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and so forth. We're thankful. Thankful that you are who you're supposed to be. Thankful that you have responded to the gospel. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1. Again, at the very beginning of his letters, he talks about his prayers. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. And he continues to talk about the gospel coming to them. He begins with, we are thankful. Philemon, verse 4. Look at how he began his letter to this individual, Philemon. Philemon, verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayer, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all the saints. In the book of Philippians, go back a few letters here. The book of Philippians, he begins by recounting his prayers. Chapter 1 and verse 3. I thank my God upon my every remembrance of you in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 1 also, this time in verse 15, Paul recounts his prayer. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That, the God of the Lord Jesus, and so on there. And even in 1 Corinthians, I think it's interesting in 1 Corinthians that they were a church that had a lot of problems. Well, Paul says, I prayed also, and notice how he says that there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him and all utterance and all knowledge. And he goes on, and I think one thing is interesting. When he was talking about the church at Colossae, when he was talking about Philemon, when he was talking about the church at Thessalonica, he said, I've heard of your goodness. I heard of your faith. I heard of your love. I heard of your hope. And I'm thankful to God because of what good you're doing. He didn't say that to the Corinthians. He didn't say anything about, I heard of your faith. I heard of your love. I heard of your hope. He said, I heard you're having problems. And you need to fix those problems because you're not doing what's right. But he did find something good. He said, I thank God that He's given you the gospel. Because if anything's going to change you, it's going to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul always found something to be thankful for. Always thanked God for what He has done. Not just general thank God for everything, but the specifics, looking at the difficulties that people had. God desires for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. And when we see men coming to the knowledge of the truth, we can give thanks. for the changes that take place in their lives, for all that God has given to us. In fact, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What can we be thankful for? In your prayers, in the development of your prayer life, how is thanksgiving in your prayer life? One man said, every door may shut around us, but he never shuts the door above us. Think about your prayers. Do they contain all of these elements, the elements of supplication and prayers and intercession, as well as the giving of thanks? As we mature in Christ, as we continue to grow, our communication with God needs to grow as well. And I would challenge you, especially this month, to put an emphasis on your prayer life. Let God speak to you through His Word, and make sure that you speak to Him and communicate your heart through your prayers. If you're not a Christian in the audience, we would encourage you to come to Christ. Because really, prayer is a privilege for His children. Now it's true, God hears everything. He hears the prayers of the sinner as well as the saint. But He has always only promised to hear the prayer of the saint, to hear the prayer of His children. If you're not a child of God, we would encourage you to become a child of God this morning. We would encourage you to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent of your sins, be willing to confess your belief in Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized, buried in water for the forgiveness of your sins, to be born again into this new family where you can call upon God as your Father. If you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one. If you are a Christian, one of the privileges of being a Christian is that we can come to God and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. If you have sin in your life and need to confess it before the brethren here and have us pray for you, we encourage you to come as well. Or if you just need help, one of the privileges of being a Christian is that we can come before God and say, Lord, please help me. And we can have our brothers and sisters pray that same prayer as well. If you're subject to the gospel call, won't you come while we stand and sing?